everybody. This is Ken Smith with the Klamath Tribes Podcast. Today, we are talking about food sovereignty, specifically food sovereignty assessment survey. And helping us to understand what this is and why it's important is my two guests, Nora Frank Buckner and Jeff Mitchell. Jeff, will you want to introduce yourself first?
Yes, Ken. First, thank you for having us here today. My name is Jeff Mitchell, member of the Klamath Tribes. I'm also chairman of the Klamath Tribes Agriculture and First Foods Ad Hoc Committee.
It's a long title.
It is.
And we have on the phone Nora Frank Buckner. And why don't you introduce yourself and your title?
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, Nora Frank Buckner. I'm an enrolled member of the Nez Perce Tribe and a direct descendant of the Klamath Tribe. My title is the Director of Food Sovereignty Programs for Tahoma Peak Solutions, which is an all-Native woman-owned consulting firm specializing in food systems, planning and design, and communications. And I was actually born and raised in Klamath Falls, and my mom worked as the tribe's education and employment director for over 20 years. But now I live in Vancouver, Washington. So that's why I'm on the phone.
Very good. Well, let's get into it. This survey, the deadline is June 21st. So you both wanted to get on this podcast quickly to spread the news. Why is the survey so important, Jeff?
Well, the survey is important because what we're really talking about are treaty resources. And First Foods are one of our reserved rights, actually in Article 1 of the Treaty of 1864, the Klamath Tribes reserved the right to gather edible fruits and berries and harvest deer and elk and catch fish. So what we're talking about is really the protection of our first foods.
Nora, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, yeah, like Jeff said, this assessment really is intended to, you know, document the views of the tribal membership, the descendants, and, you know, members that live within their households, not only about, you know, healthy fresh foods, but also those first foods or traditional foods, the availability of those foods, the accessibility, the interest in learning more about those foods, and how, you know, we can create a healthier local regional food system while also protecting, centering, and prioritizing those foods that hold cultural significance and the land that sustains those foods.
Let's talk a little bit about what first foods are. Sure, many of our tribal listeners know, but nonetheless, let's go into some more detail. What are the first foods we're talking about?
We're really talking about the foods that the Creator provided us here in our homeland. We're hunters, fishers, and gatherers of Klamath Tribes. We didn't practice any agriculture, so all of the food that we depended on was given to us by our Creator. And food is all around us. Our ancestors depended on what the Creator provided us. If it wasn't for those first foods, we wouldn't be here today. So it's that important. Our ancestors would spend day in, day out gathering food, food for everyday use, of course, and food to store through the winter. So it was a process of going out and getting those foods, and historically, well, more historic, in more recent times, we really focused on big game recently, and, you know, we filed litigation in the 70s around big game, Kimbo versus Callahan, and eventually water, U.S. v. Adair case, but those were focused on primarily big game and water resources necessary to support those. But there's a whole array of other foods that our people depended on, roots, berries, grains, lots of food out there. So really we're talking about all of those foods plus foods that came to our lands in more recent times. And I'm really talking about during the creation of the reservation in the reservation era. Bureau of Indian Affairs, Indian Service started trying to get our tribes first to become farmers. When that didn't work necessarily, they encouraged us to start raising animals, and specifically cattle. Cattle was a big, big business on the former Klamath Indian Reservation, and practically every family in the tribes had a ranching operation at one time. So, you know, all through our time here, we've been involved in gathering foods or raising foods.
It's interesting. I was reading just briefly this piece that was written. I don't have it in front of me. Georgine Nelson sent it to me from the language department. And it was 1939. It was written by one of the colleges that did research on the Northern Paiute in the area. And they didn't have horses when they hunted. That's what it said in this, that originally they were, you know, on foot. And big game, they said, wasn't one of their primary food sources. That was found more in the outskirts, not in the interior parts where they lived. I'm not sure how accurate this is and whether, you know, how much truth there is, but it was interesting to read. And this was also breaking down that there was many different bands of Paiute.
Mm-hmm.
So the different bands would hunt and gather different things depending on their geographic location.
That's really correct. Here on the Klamath Reservation, the Klamath Reservation was comprised primarily of four tribes, and three of them signed a treaty of 1864, the Klamath, the Modoc, and the Yahooskan Band of Snake. In addition, there was a provision in our treaty where the United States kept the ability to place other tribes on our reservation, and over time, Northern Paiute also ended up on the reservation, as well as Malala, Shasta, Pitt River. So we had a lot of different tribes that ended up on this reservation, but the largest of tribes were those three that I mentioned, and they all had distinct areas that they depended on for gathering their foods. And so every one of those tribes were hunters, fishers, and gatherers.
Nora, why the survey? What do you want to gather from the tribal members?
Yeah, so I think it's important to back up a little bit and kind of define, like, what is food sovereignty? Why are we calling this a food sovereignty assessment? And food sovereignty, you know, can be defined differently in different communities, and especially with even within community. But, you know, food sovereignty really emphasizes the right of a people to define their own food systems and prioritize their local and sustainable production of that food and the benefits for their community. And I think, you know, it's important to note that in general, it's like food sovereignty challenges the industrial and corporate driven model of our food system and agriculture. And it advocates for more of that biodiversity and the cultural and economic empowerment that can come from a community taking control of its own food system. And so the purpose of our food sovereignty assessment for the Klamath tribes is to evaluate, you know, what are some of those barriers and opportunities for folks to have access to land or water and traditional foods, or, you know, what are they currently having access to in terms of the grocery stores or the foods that they're purchasing and how they're preparing those foods. I think in this particular survey, we're really focused on the cultural relevance of food and the interests and opportunities for community to learn more about those foods and how to access that.
Can we talk a little bit more about the foods you're referring to? I know we just had a root digging. Mm-hmm. Recently, that's obviously a first food that's right in our backyard, although you said it was kind of dry, a bit of a drought causing some problems with finding the roots. I was out there last year. What's it called again? It's the
Tablelands is where I think you were at last year. That's one of the areas where we dig certain roots, but really all around us, from the top of the mountains to the rivers and the lakes and the marshes, there are first foods available. And we were really blessed by our Creator to have an abundance of different types of first foods. And, you know, I want to go back to the food sovereignty question. And for our tribes in particular, when we look back in time, prior to 1864, our people, this was our homeland. It still is our homeland, in my opinion. But we lived on and gathered on over 23 million acres of land that stretched from Bend, Oregon, all the way down past Mount Shasta to east past Lakeview and up the crest of the Cascades. So those were the lands that the Klamath, Monarch, and Yahooskan Band of Snake needed in order to feed our population. And quickly, over a short period of time, after the signing of the treaty, we ceded to the United States over 22 million acres. And we reserved a homeland of 2.2. And within a relatively short period of time, we ended up with no lands. By the time termination policies of the 50s occurred, 1962, the last the reservation was broken up, Wainema National Forest was created, and eventually in the early 70s, the last of the remaining members' lands were taken. The point to all of that is that all of those lands that we had reserved as a nation to feed our people, and I go back to that provision in the treaty, the very first article, we wanted to make sure we had enough land to continue to feed our population. And here we are now within less than 100 years. We have no lands within our ownership. But much of those lands are public lands today. And the tribes did retain the right to hunt, fish, and gather. We have water rights. And so we have treaty reserved rights. And those first foods are treaty resources, and it's important today that we figure out what's important to our people and how do we figure out the best way of making those first foods available to our people now and into the future.
Making them available. Nora, you mentioned barriers and opportunities. What are the barriers and what are the opportunities?
Yeah, I think Jeff could really speak in depth about those. But some of the things that I've heard, not only in the Klamath area, but all over, is access to land being one of them. And I know, you know, for the Klamath tribes, it's, you know, Jeff, you could probably speak to this better, but the private land ownership issue and not having access to traditional areas for gathering or hunting. And then, of course, like the damming of the Klamath River and not having the salmon runs where we traditionally had them before. And so there's great opportunity in just that example of how we can find ways to do conservation work or revitalization work to bring these foods back and provide education to not only tribal members, but also landowners about that. And there's also opportunities for partnership there. You know, and that's just one example. Jeff, do you have another example that you wanted to bring up or maybe clarify the one I was speaking to?
I do want to talk about the resilience of our people, and I did talk about that period of time from the treaty on through the early 1970s, where we went from having all these lands of our own to now having those lands taken. But the tribes kept fighting. We retained those rights. We fought for those rights to protect our sources of food. And through those efforts, you know, we've actually made progress. In considering all of the terrible things that have happened in the past, we've had some real success too. Unfortunately, in 1917, with the building of dams on the Klamath, we actually lost salmon up into the upper basin here, Cheels. And that fishery in and of itself, we're fish people. It provided 1/4 of all of our subsistence needs. 1/4, think about that. 1/4 of all the food that we depended on came from salmon. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, it's gone. Now, what did that do? It caused us to have to rely upon other foods, you know, to make up for that loss. That meant hunting more big game. It meant relying on other fisheries that were still available to us. But our people kept fighting. We didn't forget about salmon because they built dams. We continued to press that fight, and it was because of our persistence and our leadership, those dams are coming out. And right now, as we speak, the largest dam removal in the history of this world is happening, and it's happening because of the efforts of the Klamath tribes. And now, other tribes downriver, they've continued to have salmon. They didn't suffer the losses like our people did. The Yurok, Karuk, and Hoopaw have continued to fish, but Klamath had lost that completely. So when the opportunity came up to get those dams removed, our people led that fight. And we took it all around the world, actually, and we're eventually successful. Now dams coming out, those fish are going to come home, salmon coming home. That's another, you know, that's a testament to the resilience. Now, do we have other challenges? Yes. You know, the allotment process that happened at the turn of a century, we had over 250,000 acres allotted on the Klamath Reservation, and most of those lands are along the rivers, streams, creeks, springs that existed within the former boundaries of the reservation. Today, over 95% of those allotted lands are in private ownership. That creates a real dilemma. Because for us to exercise our treaty rights, we have to have access. So today we're looking at different ways of getting access again. Part of that is purchasing lands back, and we've done that recently through the efforts of Tribal Council and General Council. We've acquired property on the Upper Williamson. We've acquired property on Hog Creek. You know, we're working on other projects that will bring lands back into tribal ownership. But for those other lands, we're looking at partnerships. We realize that we have new neighbors that probably aren't going anywhere, whether we like it or not. And we're going to have to work with them to some degree. So figuring out ways that we can work with them and fixing some of the problems that were created through different land management decisions is really important. So restoring watersheds, riparian habitats, areas where wokus, one of our primary food sources, we need to look at opportunities where we can bring wokus back on the lakes, on the marshes, other places. So I'm excited. I think that we have a lot going in the right direction, but it's really up to our membership to tell us. And that's what this assessment is really going to do. It's going to ask you, the tribal membership, what do you want to see? How do you want to protect these resources? How do you want to use these resources? What do you want to learn about these resources? So, you know, we are going back to you, the people, and you're going to have to share with us, how do you want things to go into the future? Because this is what we can control now. We can control now, and we can plan in the future. We can't totally undo everything that's happened in the past, but we can certainly frame those issues and work towards addressing them today.
What do you want to do with the survey when it's completed? What do you do with it?
Nora, go ahead.
Sure. We're going to take all of the information gathered from the membership and compile it into a summary report that will have recommendations to move forward. And that will be provided to Tribal Council and to the membership. And so we'll make sure that's all available. And hopefully it brings about opportunities for community to interact more with these first foods, to be a part of the food system and the revitalization and reclamation of that. So that's our next step.
Yeah, to add on to that, you know, it really is important for our people to speak up here. And our membership really has to decide, you know, what it wants in the future in regards to our first foods and how do we want to use those. We'll compile this information. We'll bring this data back to our membership. We'll share with them everything that we've learned. But at the end of the day, we'll provide some recommendations in the form of this report we'll prepare for Tribal Council and General Council. But it really is up to the membership to say to all of us, this is what we want. This is the direction that we want to go. And then it's a responsibility of tribal government and your committees to and staff to figure out the best way of achieving that. And like I said, here we are on the cusp of having salmon come home. People said that would never happen. But yet, the largest dam removal in the history of the world is happening. And it's happening because of our people's hard work.
Okay, so I'm a tribal member listening to this. How do I fill out the survey? And the deadline's June 21st, so we got a quick turnaround from the time this goes live for people to hear to the time you need the survey turned in.
Go ahead, Nora.
Yeah, you can find it, I believe, on the Klamath Tribal social media pages, and there's a survey link that they can go to. It's on SurveyMonkey. If, for example, though, if you're an elder and would like to participate in the survey but don't want to deal with all the technology pieces of it, I would suggest contacting Jeff Mitchell, and he can perhaps bring like a paper survey by or just have a conversation with you and fill it out together. But yeah, it's a quick turnaround. We want to try and get as many responses as we can by the 21st. We'll just keep monitoring those that are turning those in.
I'm really excited about this. We have a lot of tribal members, of course, that work for our people, and they're employed in tribal health, tribal administration, various businesses that we own, besides people that are just out there and living in our homelands and beyond. You know, we really need to hear from as many people as we can. The more response we get, I believe it's going to create, you know, a stronger opportunity for us to build a direction here for our future. So, you know, that's really what it's about. But we can't do that unless people take a few minutes, tell us what they like, what they don't like, where they want us to go. And once we get that information, then we'll compile it. And like I said, we hope to be back in front of the membership this fall with a detailed report outlining what we've learned and hopefully some exciting recommendations that our members can consider of how they want to move forward to secure food sovereignty, you know, to learn about our first foods. To figure out pathways where we can make these foods, again, a bigger part of our life. We know a lot of people hunt, fish, and gather still today. And, you know, that leads to healthy lives. And, you know, it's part of who we are as a people. It's in our DNA. So the more we get back to utilizing these resources, the better off we'll be as a people.
Well, I put the survey on the Facebook page of the Klamath Tribes with the link to the survey. I e-blasted it. I'll also put it on the klamathtribesnews.org website, where the newspaper website is. It'll be in the digital flyers. If that's not enough, if somebody can't find it, should they email you directly, Jeff? Because I know you put that on the flyer.
They can, and I'm one of the committee members. I'm the chairman of the committee, but we have other committee members. Reach out to us. We're easy to find. Abby Hall's the secretary of the committee, and she'll be helpful. Herman Anderson, Les Anderson are also parts of the committee. Jana Walker, Tana Atchley, Candy Perzu. So we have a good rounded committee, and any of those people are going to be willing to step up and help you out.
Do you want to give your email?
Yeah, I will. My email, mohiswaqs@aol.com.
Okay, on the flyer is, there's a Jeff Mitchell email too. No,
yeah.
Don't use that one.
No, use that one. It's the only one I have. I've kept my email for.
It's okay if everybody mass emails you if they need some help
care.
On this.
I mean, it is what it is. So thank you very much. And I do hope we hear from many of you and you do take the time to participate. This is important. And like I said, we're excited where we're going here in the future. And like I said, we have salmon coming home. So you do have something to be proud of. Things are working. I know we don't move as quick as we'd like our tribes to at times, but we have achieved some success lately. And it's important that we remember that and know that. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jeff Mitchell. And thank you, Nora Frank Buckner.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith. Have a good day.